when you're having fun. It's amazing, isn't it, how many people can look back and reflect on what is 18 months, isn't it, since we actually were able to come and be together and share together. Although some have adopted Zoom. I Zoomed out last May, I think, and I thought I'd stick with YouTube, and I've enjoyed that very much, and also radio. I've had wonderful opportunity to speak every month on New Life Radio. Do recommend it, and I've enjoyed that very much. Lots of things come to my mind as we have been sharing, as it always does, if you think about what's been said and done. And one scripture came to mind, the prayer of faith shall save the sick. And of course that's one of James's last points in his letter to Christian folk. James was the natural brother of Jesus, and not the James that had his head chopped off, you read about in Acts chapter 12. And this story that, I'm sorry, I've forgotten, Rita, is it? No, what was the? Roz, sorry, I got the right R. Just old age, you know, keeps on you. Wonderful story of four men that carried their palsied friend to Jesus. And of course, that's the only place to take people. You realise that? Is to Jesus. Somehow, some way, we've got to find a way to bring about revelation in their lives. And that's really hope. I mean, physically, we're all going to die. You appreciate that. But Jesus does intervene in our lives from time to time. He has in mind, in a hospital, laying on the bed there, contemplating surgery because I had slipped a disc, using a sledgehammer to demolish a caravan. Probably unwise, although I was younger then. And I just was in real pain. Anyway, they thought they could sort me out by various things. Traction I did for about 18 days. The only thing that happened there, I got longer. I didn't get better. And I cried out to the Lord. Lord, I said, give me faith to believe you to heal me. And, you know, God answered me, as he always does. When you get to that place of faith, and God answered me, and he gave me a scripture. And I do pray that you read your Bibles, because there are gems in this book that God can bring to mind. If we don't read it, he will not bring them to mind. I have the privilege of leading a couple of Bible studies each week in my hometown of Bexhill. Well, hometown, church hometown is Bexhill-on-Sea. And we had a little question, and I said, in 5 minutes, just give me a panoramic view of the Bible. And there was silence. I said, okay, where do we start? So somebody said, Genesis, creation of the world, well done. Give them a clap for that. Where do we go then? You know, and they struggled. We eventually got to Abraham, and we ventured with a nudging, got to Moses, and so on. Read your Bible, because you will discover every answer you need under heaven for your life. But faith, these four men, they brought their palsied friend. Couldn't get in the room, it was packed, like this place will be once God gets rid of this COVID business. And it'd be packed. People will come because they will need the Lord. Anyway, he took the roof off and lowered his friend down. And then Jesus spoke the the word of faith. You know what the word of faith was? Son, thy sins are forgiven you. You see, faith is not just, Lord, make him whole. Jesus needs to identify the issues in our lives and deal with them. Because there are priorities with God. And he wants us to find the answer. And of course there was a big kerfuffle, as there always is when Jesus was speaking, and the Pharisees were all up in arms. You know, what, this man, is he God? You know, what can he say? He said, what's easy to say? Son, thy sins are forgiven you, or rise up and walk. See? But faith, and of course we got to the end of that, as I mentioned, but faith is the substance. That's right. I'm just jumping ahead of myself. I can feel myself jumping ahead. So I'll get my notes out. So I'm not running ahead. When do you stop? All right. When have you got to go to Devon? After tea. Right. The clock. I shall finish at 12. Is that all right? You do that? I've been preaching in Baptist churches and you only get 25 minutes. So if I stretch it to 30, that should be all right. Did you know in this book, this Bible version, the New King James Bible, there are 231 references to faith. It's a big subject. Out of those, there are only two in the Old Testament, which Paul knows. One in Deuteronomy, chapter 32, and the other in Habakkuk, chapter 2, verse 4, which is also referred to in the New Testament. And every letter in the 26 letters, except John and the epistles of John, he doesn't mention faith. Isn't that interesting? Huh? No, Hebrews says, the just shall live by faith. It's a quote from Habakkuk 2:4, Hebrews 10. But nearly get down to Hebrews 11. Faith. And the dictionary says, this is what I wanted you to, it says, complete trust or confidence in something or somebody. Vine says it's firm persuasion, absolute certainty in the trustworthiness of God, and it's planted in our hearts like a seed. Keith Kelly said, and if you ever hear Keith Kelly, he's a great speaker, forsaking all, I trust him. Faith. But I want to go to James, and I want you to look at four things that James says about faith, which I think is vital for our lives. We've seen Jesus ministering, and all his life is ministering in faith. It's wonderful to see him working. You may remember that he was up the mountain with the disciples, Peter, James and John, and he was transfigured. He shone. The glory of God was upon him. And Peter, James and John saw Moses and Elijah there with him. And he said, let's build tabernacles. And immediately a cloud covered it and centered their thoughts immediately on Jesus. But down in the mountain, off the mountain, down in the valley, there was a man with a troubled son. And Jesus comes down and he says to him, I brought my son but to your disciples, they couldn't heal him. You know, there are so many tragedies and crises in our world today. Oh, wouldn't it be great we could do like what Jesus did? He healed everybody that came to him. Don't you long to have that heart? You know, that we should live like Jesus lived, move like Jesus moved. I think that must be the most wonderful thing to do in the world, to be like him. But they couldn't. And Jesus says, bring him to me. He was an epileptic. And often he would fall into the fire or into the water. And do you know what Jesus said? He cast the demon out. Now, I don't know how we think about epileptic. I don't think every epileptic has a demon. But you know, we live in an age where the identification of people's needs is not clear anymore. We don't know where we stand, do we? I'm not a medic. But I know that there are issues in people's lives that are not just straightforward healing. You see, I wasn't in hospital because I was stupid. That's why I was in hospital. I should learn not to swing sledgehammers. That was my fault. But you know, when God spoke to me, he said, I can't even remember the scripture. Oh boy. I'm out of touch here. I know where it is in the Bible. Those that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall rise up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Patricia. That's what the Lord said to me. What's the Lord saying to you this morning? Do you want this faith? They couldn't do it. You know, I had an interview with the consultant surgeon in hospital. Sorry, you know, we've done everything we can. Sorry, you can't do any more. The only thing we can do is cut it out. Terrified me. I've got a good friend called Andrew Lockwood who had it cut out. He's still suffering with it 30, 40 years later. And I was desperate. I said, oh Lord, I'm scared. Please help me. Anyway, he sat on the bed. I can still see him today. And I said, I'm okay now. Thank you very much. Can I go home? He never said anything. He just looked at me. I said, okay. So I rang Frances and she came and picked me up. I shuffled out of the ward and got into the car. I've not had a problem since. I had a ruptured double disc. Apparently, according to the x-rays, I've still got ruptured discs. Apparently, my back's in a mess. But you know, I'm pain-free. Jesus said to the disciples, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain to move from there to there, and it will be moved. And the man said, Lord, help my little faith. We got unbelief in this book, but help my little faith. And oh, I want to increase my faith. I want to begin, and looking at this book, James, perhaps just point out these four things. I've got an emoji they called. I'm trying to update myself in modern technology. How about that? You know what it says? What's the words? Stop. Shout it out.
Stop.
Stop! You don't go to a policeman and he says, stop, do you? He says, stop! Right. Whatever you want God to do, just stop for a moment and consider the subject of faith. If you can believe, all things are possible to him who can, in Jesus' name, believe. Lord, help my little faith, he said. Anyway, Jesus delivered this young boy. He went home. I went home and I got better. Patricia, you get better. Amen. On the basis of God's ability to heal. James says in chapter 2, and I like James because he's frank, honest, open, says it as it is. And he says, and he says it quite a few times, in fact in my Bible it has a heading, faith without works is dead. What does it profit, my brethren, verse 14, chapter 2, if someone says he has faith but does not have works, can faith save him? He uses an illustration of a brother or sister in naked or in destitute or dead. If you just think about a naked man comes to you and he says to you, I've got no clothes. Oh, well, be blessed, brother. Well, you wouldn't do that, would you? You rush out the wardrobe and get some clothes and say, I hope these fit you. Or you might say, if he's hungry, you wouldn't say, brother, be blessed, would you? You go out and go to the kitchen and get one of your ready meals that you haven't eaten yet and give it to him and say, I put this in your microwave. He says, someone will say, you have faith, I have works. Show me your faith without your works and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that there is one God, you do well. And he says it again later on. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. And I like to change, I'm not suggesting we change our Bibles, but I'm going to suggest you change this to faith if it doesn't work is no good. My faith if it doesn't work is no good. The introduction to faith says in this book, in my Bible, it says, faith without works cannot be called faith. Without works cannot be called faith. Faith without works is dead, and a dead faith is worth no faith at all. Faith must work, it must produce, it must be visible. Verbal faith is not enough. Mental faith is insufficient. Faith must be there, it must be more, it must inspire action. So what do these four letters stand for? Stop. First one is saving faith. Nigel needs saving. He needs to find God. And you know that's God's heart, to save everybody. Do you know it's not the will of God that any should perish? And how do we get through to men and women? In fact, chapter 2 at the beginning, it says, and James is saying here, he says, do not hold the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with partiality. It's not a faith for some, it's faith for all. It's saving faith. I bless the day that God saved me. You know, it was a long time I went to church before I got saved. In fact, it was 23 years. It's amazing, isn't it? It's not faith just to do miracles. It's faith to believe in God. We go back to the end of Hebrews chapter 10 where we read that phrase from Habakkuk, the just shall live by faith. It goes on to say, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. By it the worlds were created. God said, let there be, and there was. By faith, Abel offered a right sacrifice. Then it says, Noah built an ark. A boat in the middle of nowhere. bit like building it in the middle of the Sahara Desert and saying, there's going to be a rain, there's going to be a flood. They laughed him to scorn. But you see, he built it. And then it goes on down to verse 6. It says, without faith it's impossible to please him. He that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. I believe God. I believe him. You know, if you say, well, how do you know? I don't. I believe him. I believe God. I can't see any other logical explanation to life than the fact that God created it. He's in control. You know, faith is given to those that believe, Galatians says. In fact, one famous scripture in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, which you would all know, by grace you're saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Do you like stories? I love them. I'm always out for a good story. You know, here's a wonderful story. Did you watch the Olympic Games? Well, here's an Olympic man. His name is Charles Murray. He's a high diver. And a man is trying to share with him the gospel. He says, Charles was very patient with me as I would speak to him for hours about Jesus, Christ, and how he had saved me. He says he wasn't raised in a home that attended any kind of church, and so everything else was quite a fascination to him. In the days that followed, he was quiet. You see, he rejected Jesus, didn't want to follow him. One day he rang up to ask about certain references in the Bible. He was greatly troubled, but I did not know where he was or how to help him. Because he was training for the Olympic Games, Charles had special privileges at the university school facilities. Sometime between 10:30 and 11 that evening, he decided to go for a swim and practice a few dives. It was a clear night in October and the moon was big and bright. The university pool was housed under a ceiling of glass, so the moon shone brightly across the top wall of the pool area. Charles climbed to the highest platform to take his first dive. At that moment, the Spirit of God began to convict him of his sins. All the scripture he had read, all the occasions of witnessing to him about Christ, flooded his mind. He stood on the platform backwards to make his dive, spread his arms to gather his balance, looked up to the wall and saw his own shadow caused by the light of the moon. Did you watch the diving in the Olympics? He saw the cross on the wall, the reflection. He could bear the burden of sin no longer. His heart broke. He sat down on the platform and asked God to forgive him and save him. He trusted Jesus Christ 20 feet above the air, in the air. Suddenly the light in the pool area came on. The attendant came in to check the pool. As Charles looked down from his platform, he saw an empty pool that had been drained for repairs. He had almost plummeted to his death, but the cross had saved him from disaster. By grace you are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. Are you saved this morning? It's a miracle of God. It's where he begins. He saves us. Boy, I needed saving. You know, that passage in Galatians talks about we're under the law until faith comes. And I know, I can look back and know that there were things I could not do because I was too scared to do them. You know, I could see that God was working in my life. And maybe God's working in your life, but you're not saved. So you're on the road to a life of faith. What does T stand for? Well, T stands for trials. Here, verse 1. Brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith worketh patience. We've been talking about thankfulness. You know, and you read the Bible consistently, and we're encouraged, aren't we, to be thankful for everything. Anybody in this room a grumbler? No, of course not. Wouldn't be consistent, would it, with our Christian experience? You know, I really do thank God for some of the people. I was reading Alan Redpath. I don't know if you remember him. He used to be a pastor. He's not with us anymore. He's gone to the Lord. In Charlotte Chapel. I remember the first time I visited Charlotte Chapel in Edinburgh in 1965 and heard him preach on Behold, He Prayeth. I still remember it to this day. Transformed my life. That just that one, I can't remember what he said about it, but he was sitting in his study one day and he was writing, he was getting prepared for a wedding he was going to take, and suddenly he felt his arm lost the power of his arm, and then he felt he lost the power of his face, and then he lost the power of his voice and his leg, and he couldn't speak. He'd had a stroke. And he tells the story of how he struggled with all he knew. Why? He used to preach, don't say why. Don't say, why has this happened to me? And he had to come to the place where he accepted and thank God for it. It tests faith. I love the story of the woman in Matthew's Gospel whose daughter was grievously vexed, the Bible says, with a demon. She comes to Jesus. She's a Syrophoenician. She's not of the tribe of Israel. And she knocks on Jesus' door and he doesn't answer a word. Oh, well, that's religion for you. But she knocks again. And the disciples open the door and say, sorry, Jesus is busy. Jesus, tell this woman to go away. She's troubling us. But she doesn't. She knocks again. She said, I haven't come, Jesus says, to people outside of Israel. But she goes on. It's not right to give food to the dogs, etc. Said, but even the dogs eat of the crumbs. She persisted. She wasn't going to let us stop her. And Jesus says this to her afterwards, after he says, your daughter's healed. Great is your faith. Are you letting God teach you these sometimes very difficult lessons, challenging lessons, when things go wrong? What does O stand for? Obedient faith. Do you know that Romans tells us that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God? You know, and often we neglect, don't we, to read our Bibles. But, you know, God speaks to us through the Bibles. We have a dear friend, his name is Norman Meaton. He's very unwell at the moment. He's got trigger neuralgia, something crippling his life. He's 88 years of age. But he had a back condition for many, many years in his travel. He damaged his frame, traveling to all over the world, he does. And the surgeons were talking about operating and etc. Anyway, he said, I'll leave it with you, Lord. And one day he was reading his Bible. And God said, I will heal you. He said, when I read that, God did. He came to one of our elders' days that we used to have in the north of England. You know, tracksuit, gym shoes. He looked like a young boy for his 80 years of age. He was revolutionized. God spoke the word. Here's what James says. He says, be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For anyone, if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. He observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. I can reflect on so many wonderful stories. I preached on this subject before, as you can guess, the subject of faith. And in the meeting, a young woman sat there who I'd met, real character she was, Bermondsey born. And and I finished by saying, you can ask God anything tonight and he'll do it for you, this morning, and he'll do it for you. Wow, what a challenge to present a congregation. So she asked. Do you know what she asked for? She asked that God would save her husband in the evening meeting. But he didn't come to the evening meeting. That was the first challenge. She was to go home and invite him to come to the evening meeting. Second challenge was that God might speak to him in the evening meeting. Three young men gave three prophetic words in that meeting. And God had saved him. My privilege to pray and see him safely into the kingdom of God as the pastor of the church. That was a brave prayer, wasn't it? Lord, save my husband. You see, prayer, James says at the end of this epistle, says, if anyone among you suffering, let him pray. Is anyone cheerful, let him sing psalms. Is anyone among you sick, let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over them, anointing them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick. And the Lord will raise him up. If he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Confess your trespasses one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Interesting to note at the end of the passage in Matthew's Gospel, when the disciples were asking Jesus why they couldn't do it, he said, these things come not out but by prayer and fasting. If you've got an NIV Bible, of course, the word fasting's been removed. It's what I call the nearly infallible version. But it's there. I'm not suggesting that it might not be in the original, but it's certainly a very valuable thing to pray. Roger Whiting, another dear friend of mine who came to the church, was involved in a very serious motorbike accident. Probably heard this story before if you sat listening to me long enough. He had a fractured skull. He caught meningitis. I took his young wife to the hospital to visit. She had three young children or two at that time. And as I say, he looked in a mess. He was dragging at the leads. He didn't want to live. He wanted to die. He felt he wanted to die. And it was a distressing time. I'd taken his wife. I brought her home. She went back home to look after the children. And I went to the evening meeting. Wound up, of course, as I used to get. And I said, we must pray for Roger. I said, what we'll do, we'll sing a hymn and then after that we'll pray. No. So we sang a hymn, I thought a bit pathetically, so I said, well, let's sing it again. And then we prayed, and we prayed a bit pathetically, and I said, do you remember that time? Yeah. Paul was there. I said, probably O-O-T, you know. I said, we're saying prayers, we're not praying. I said, let's pray. And we nearly lifted the roof. People, just think of it. Somebody mentioned the early disciples gathering together in the upper room. John did. When faith first came, and God transformed them. I don't think they said prayers one by one. When the Holy Spirit came, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and they all prayed. No wonder 5,000 people got saved as an outworking of that prayer meeting. Anyway, we prayed. That night, God met with Roger. Healed him, restored him. In fact, he came to out of his unconsciousness and cracked a funny joke. That was Roger. But God answers prayer. So we pray that God increase our faith so that we can ask God to do these things. It may be to go and preach the gospel. As Ross says, he needs to know, he needs to be in heaven. I mean, he needs to be saved, doesn't he? Father, we do thank you this morning that you are the God who answers prayer. We thank you, Lord, that there are so many wonderful occasions that you did so in the scriptures. And there are so many wonderful illustrations of what's happened over the years since you were on this earth. But Lord, they're all so wonderful. Lord, what we want is the things that are going to happen in the days to come. Lord, prepare us to be ministers of this wonderful gospel. Lord, if faith needs to be increased. You say it's, if we have it as a mustard seed, well, a mustard seed is a very small seed. It needs to grow, needs to develop, needs to enlarge. We pray, Lord, that you will enlarge my faith, that I may be able to do what you want me to do. And I pray that for each one of us as we close this meeting. Amen. Thank you, Paul.